Friday the 8th of May, Pesach Sheni, Rabbi Joseph Pillman, Pesach Sheni.
Good morning, and good night of Shabbos, and to good Pesach Sheni. First of all, I must thank the organizers for inviting me to come on the day of my yahrzeit. It is a very sort of moving thing, and it's a small little indication of the sensitivity of the organizers that they realize this and give one the opportunity on this particular day. I do observe, though, that you might remember that exactly, I think it was 2 years ago, my brother was invited on the same day. It was his yahrzeit, because it's my brother, and we have the same father, Oliver Sholem, and he also talked about Pesach Sheni. So if I'm repeating anything that he said 2 years ago and you still remember it, please forgive me, though I have listened to it. I listened to it early on before I started today. I've taken one or two very, very interesting points from his speech, but I've tried to go on a slightly different kivun. Now, before we start with the kashas, let's first of all just look at the name. In the Gemara, it's called Pesach Cotton. Just as we have Purim Godel and Purim Cotton, it's called Pesach Cotton. And two reasons are given. One is in the Meforish to the Rambam, Kiddush HaChodesh. He says because it's only one day, whereas the Pesach is 7 days, so therefore it is a smaller Pesach than the main Pesach. It's a simple explanation. And the other one is in the Melechish Shlomo, who says that there are many more kulas on Pesach Sheni than there are on Pesach Rishon. Clearly we allowed to eat chometz and so forth, and therefore they decided to call it the Pesach Cotton. In the Megillah's time, this is called Pisco Zero, which is the Aramaic translation of cotton, just as nowadays you have people called Klein, which is the Yiddish translation of cotton. But however, we have decided to call it Pesach Sheni because it comes second after the Pesach Rishon. That's how we call it. But it's a beautiful little idea here. If you want to know on which day of the week it's going to fall, Pesach Sheni falls on Sheni Shel Pesach. It's a good way of remembering it. It can only fall on the second day of Pesach, and as we have a rule that lo badu Pesach, therefore Pesach Sheni cannot fall on the days following Monday, Wednesday or Friday. Therefore it can never fall on a Shabbos, for example. That's the dating of Pesach Sheni. Now, as far as its status, as I can, what Pesach Sheni is about, is a three-way machlokas in the Gemara. One Tana holds it is a tashlumin for the first Pesach. One Tana holds it's what's called a takanto. It's a takona that you've got as a separate takona. But the halacha is like Rebbe holds it's regel bifnei atzmo. It's not just a tashlumin, a payment for what happened on the first Pesach if you couldn't do it. It's got a din of regel bifnei atzmo. And that has consequences which be far too complicated to go into here, but I have written it down on the piece of paper as the basic differences between a person who's a shoygeg on the first and a hey or a mezid on the first and then he did what he did on the second. There's all sorts of different ramifications lahalacha of the person who didn't bring his korban Pesach on Pesach Rishon. What's the situation lagabi Pesach Sheni? That's the three-way machlokes. That's not the point I want to go into now. I want to go into the question of Mimon L'shech. If it's a regel, if Ne'atzma, there are all sorts of problems with that. And if it's a Tashlum, there's all sorts of problems with that. And in fact, I was thinking that I'd set out all the different questions. And in fact, I came to the number 18. I don't know whether it's Minash Shemayim, because it just happens this is the 18th time that I'm standing before you at this. You might ask the kasher, well, there's 18 questions, is why I'm here. But anyhow, I came out with 18 questions, the Gabi Pesach Sheni. But to start off with, to give you a flavour of it, on Monday of this week, my nephew is a very bright spark, Tanul Chalom, is learning in the Edgware Koilo. He wrote me a letter. I'd just like to read that letter out to give you the flavour of the problem. He writes as follows: Dear Uncle Joseph, I have some questions regarding Pesach Sheni. He didn't know I was going to be here today, but I think he's listening at the moment because he wants to hear the answers. He said he might be anyhow. So, Nathaniel, if you're there, listen to this. He says as follows: an obvious question which sprung to my mind was, why is it on the 14th of Iyar? One such opportunity has been missed. Well, let's do it in Sivan or Tammuz or in the summer holiday. Why is it on the 14th? And why not at the end of Nisan, as we would all been pure by then? Then he says, I found a Balaturim which speaks about all these problems, except why it's not the end of Nisan, but his answer seems far-fetched and puzzling. L'chayra. I've added the L'chayra in. He writes in Bamidbar, chapter Perik Tes Posig Yud, that when one makes a leap year, Iyar becomes in the place of Nisan. This seems to me a bit ridiculous, as one adds an extra Adar, so what's this all about? Furthermore, he writes that on the 15th the Mon fell down. Therefore, on Pesach we have, and it only came for one day. We do a Pesach for one day, I beg your pardon. This is totally beyond me, he says, as Pesach Sheni is on the 14th, not on the 15th, and the Mon only came down on the 16th. In any event, see Rashi in Shemos Tezayin Posuk Aleph. Also, the Mon and the Korban Pesach do not seem to have the slightest connection. If you are able to decipher for me, he calls it the Morse code, I would be extremely grateful, as I can't make out even a skeleton of a pshat. So that's what he wrote to me. I said to him, Nathaniel, I'll tell you two things. One, wait till Friday and listen. And two, you should know that if you've got one or two questions and it doesn't make sense, you're not learning right pshat. And therefore, the only way to get the right pshat is to add on a lot more questions. So on the top of his couple of questions, we've got 16 more. And with that, hopefully, we'll be able to understand what's going on. Let's run through the questions now. I have set them out briefly in front of you. I'm sorry it's in a sort of hand script, and it was done very quickly late last night. I didn't have the opportunity of setting it out better before. The first question is, Pesach Sheni is not mentioned in any of the normal places for Yom Tov. There are five different places for Yom Tov in Chumash. First in Mishpatim, second in Kisiso, third in Emor, this week's Sedra, fourth in Pinchas, and fifth in Re'eh. Now, I'm not talking about places in the Chumash which talk about specific things, like Echaremus talks about Yom Kippur, or you've got Pashas Bo talks about Pesach. I'm talking where the whole gamut, the whole group of the Shalosh Regalim are gathered together in these five places. Each one's got its own significance. Mishpatim is agricultural. Kisiso is the national Yom Tov. Emor is the ritualistic Yom Tov. Pinchas is the sacrificial Yom Tov. And Re'eh is the social welfare Yom Tov. You've got five different aspects. And if you look, you'll see that each one is talking about a different aspect of the Yom Tov. But in none of those five cases is there any mention of Pesach Sheni whatsoever. Now, that's surprising. For example, on Shavuos, we have the Shtei Alechem is mentioned. All the Korbanos of the Shtei Alechem are mentioned. All the Omer is mentioned. And the other Yom Tov, and we do find this. And do you know something? In this week's Sedra, you even find Hanukkah. In this week's Sedra, you find Hanukkah. Because after Sukkot is finished, the very next thing which comes along is the oil and the Beis HaMikdash. The Shemra has got no reason to be there at all. It should have been in the beginning of Vayikra with the Korbanos. And yet, just as it finishes the parashas of Amudim, immediately after to have a talk about the Shemen of the Menorah, which is Hanukkah. So the Torah could at least have found a remes to Pesach Sheni somewhere in the parasha. Nothing at all. It only occurs in Bahaloska as a separate reason, as a separate thing. You could answer simply, it's not mentioned because it's not a Yom Tov as such. But that just begs the question, why isn't it a Yom Tov? If it's a Rega Bifnei Atzmo, like Shmuel says, it's Rega Bifnei Atzmo because of six reasons of Pasuk Koshev, etc. Well, then let's make Pesach Sheni into a Yom Tov. And yet it's not. So what's it mean? You can't say it's Rego Bifnei Atzmo and at the same time say it's a Tashlum. There's a problem here. Question number three. There is no mention of Pesach Sheni La'alacha in the Shulchan Aruch or the Ramah, and even in the Mishnah Berurah, which is surprising. The indication seems to be that the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah have held that there's no difference between Pesach Sheni and any other day of the year. In fact, where I come from in Sunderland, Pesach Sheni just didn't exist. didn't exist. There was no we said tachanun as normal. We didn't eat matzah. I did hardly understood the concept of Pesach Sheni until I ended up in Gate to the Yeshiva one day, and some guy came along and gave me a piece of matzah to eat. I said, "What's this?" He said, "Well, it's Pesach Sheni today. Don't you eat matzah?" I said, "I've never heard of it before." We didn't have such a minhag. And in fact, the Chazon Ish also clearly there's no din of the tzibur on Pesach Sheni. However, it's well known the Chassidim don't say tachanun. That's another matter. And in Minhagim, some don't say it for the whole week because of Hod. It's the beginning of the Sefer. There's all sorts of little reasons. But the fact of the matter is that the only thing which is mentioned on Pesach Sheni, even for us, is there is a shitter which says you don't have Hesped on Pesach Sheni. It's one of the days mentioned. That is mentioned. But Baruch Hashem, when I was a child, I wasn't too interested in Hespedim. I didn't get to know about it at all. So the problem is, if it is such an important thing that it's a regular bifnei atzma, why is it in such a non-event? La halacha. Sorry? There's such a minute in the afternoon, not because that's when they actually brought the korban. Yes, there are all sorts of different minhagim, but the truth of the matter is, because there are so many different minhagim, it seems very likely that nobody quite knew what to do. And they've got some who say, don't sit on the following day, because that was the day of the... afterwards, there's all sorts of different minhagim, you're quite right. But the only thing which I think is general is nobody says tachanun on Erev. A mincha and erev Pesach Sheni. I don't think any. Nobody does not. I beg your pardon. Everyone does say. What I meant to say is, no one does not say tachanun. That's what I really mean. Right. Then, okay, let's go a bit further. The question, a simple question: why have you got a second chance altogether? Since when do we give people second chances? Lulav, if you don't manage the lulav on Pesach on Sukkot, you don't get a second chance. You don't keep Shabbos on Shabbos. You can't say, "Well, I've got to see the Wembley Cup final this Shabbos. I'll keep Shabbos on Sunday." Can't do such a thing. There's no way you can do it. And even b'di'evet, if you were in a situation where you were mechal Shabbos with pikuach nefesh or something, you still can't make it up. You don't find such a concept of a tashlumin, except here on Pesach, there seems to be some reason why they wanted you to have it. Well, you could answer, I suppose, but doichek, that Pesach is special because there's a chorus attached to it. And therefore, because there's a chorus, it became so serious that it could be that. It could be. Which, in fact, would answer one of the other questions as well. Why is it just the Pesach? Why is there no din of the other dinim that go with Pesach, which get left out? For example, there's a chiyuv v'iti matzah only if you have the korban Pesach, but there's no chiyuv to make up for the matzah that you didn't eat on Pesach. We'll see that in a second. Next, if you are going to give a person an opportunity, why give them a month later? There are inyanim of tashlumin. For example, get Shmoyne Esra, you've got a chance of tashlumin the next Shmoyne Esra. One time later. So also, for example, if you don't manage to bring the korban on, say, first day of Shavuos, you've got 7 days in which to be mashlim the korban. You're given the idea of 7 days. Now, you could argue, in the case of Pesach, you can't just give him 1 day or even 7 days because he's got to get torah from his tumah, and it takes at least 7 days to get torah from tumah. Okay, 7 days, it doesn't take a month. Why should you give him a whole month and make the tashlumin a whole month later to make up for what you've lost? It's not necessary. You could do it at the end of Nisan, as Nisan asked before. The kasha is actually, I want to mention now a kasha which I heard from Rav Shlomo Zimmerman, a very sharp brain he's got, and he asked the following question, but we have to have akdama to the question first. The din is on Pesach Rishon. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara, but we pask in the halacha that women are chayev on Pesach Rishon, but they're not chayev on Pesach Sheni. It's a rishus. They can do it if they want, but they're not mechuyev to do Pesach Sheni. That's a question on its own. Why are women who are the same chiyuv as men for Pesach Rishon, why weren't they given the opportunity to do Pesach Sheni? Sorry, not the opportunity. Why weren't they given the chiyuv to do Pesach Sheni? They can do it if they want. What's this concept? If they want to, they can. But if they don't want to, they don't have to. Yeah, we know Noshim Rishus and Mitzvahs. Certain Mitzvahs are said, Shazman Gromat Rishus. But here, it should have, if there were chayiv in the Korban Rishon, there should have been automatically chayiv in the Korban Pesach Sheni. Yet that's the halacha. We need to understand why that should be. The Rambam paskens clearly, although there's a shaila in the Gemara, that the din of Tumah is equally applicable to Tumei Meis as it is to Zovim and Nidus. And in fact, the Rambam actually uses the word Zovim v'Zovais can bring the Pesach Sheni. So we find that it is a din of Tumah, even, it doesn't matter what the Tumah is, it doesn't matter what the Tumah is, as long as it's a serious form of Tumah, which requires the 7 days. It doesn't apply to a Tumas Nevel or Tumas Sheret, but it applies to Tumah Mes, or to Tumah Yetz Megufa of Zivo and Nido, it applies to that. Says Shlomo the following, think about it. Who is the most likely group of people to be Tumah in Klal Yisrael at any one time? It must be the Nidus. The Nidus is Tomei every month. Majority of women who are not having children of the right age are going to be Nidus. Now, when they become Torah, the Nidus finishes 7 days, or how long it takes, and then a bit longer nowadays, they go to the mikveh and they're Torah. When are they going to become Tomei the next time? Exactly 1 month later. That if they were Tommy on the 14th, it's going to be as likely as anything they're going to be Tommy on the 14th. So why on earth make a Pesach Sheni for people to make up the Tumah which they lost, when the biggest single group of people who are Tommy and couldn't do it are not going to be able to do it the next time? It's actually a very, very sharp sort of observation, which teaches us immediately you can't say it's pure Tashlumin. Or if it is Tashlumin, it's not a complete Tashlumin for everybody. That was his question. Then, I want to question number 8. Why do we allow chometz on, if Pesach if Sheni is meant to represent Pesach Rishon, why are we eating chometz? It says you're allowed to have chometz in the house when you're making. In fact, there's a machlokus in Rashi, chometz imo babayis, machlokus with the Minchas Chinuch and Meshech Chochma, all discuss the question of whether or not you can actually eat the chometz in the mouth at the same time as eating the matzah. It's a whole discussion as to whether, but l'chol hapochus, l'chol hadeyas, you certainly don't have to get rid of your chometz and keep it in the house and you can eat the matzah. Why? If you're going to eat matzah together with a korban Pesach for some reason, because the Pesach demands having the matzah, surely you should demand not having chometz around, and yet we have chometz. Next question. Where does this custom to eat matzah come from? Because if you think about it, on the first Pesach Rishon, on the 14th of the month, it's also to eat matzah. It's also to eat matzah because you're going to eat matzah at night, and it's going to interfere with the matzah of the night. So if Pesach Sheni is representing a replica of Pesach Rishon, it should actually be forbidden to eat matzah. And the rabbi people eat the matzah as a zecher or whatever reason they eat it, but surely it should be also to eat the matzah on the 14th. In fact, there are people eat it at the leil of the night of the 15th that don't eat it on the 14th for that very reason. Because on the 14th it was forbidden. It says in Eskeilu Boil Arusasa Babes Chamiv. It's as if you eat, you're jumping the gun. You can't eat the matzah then. So there are people who have this minig, who have the matzah at night. But that's not the prevalent minig. The prevalent minig is to have matzah, those people who do have the minig, to have it on the afternoon and then possibly also at night. Why? Therefore, then you want to eat the matzah. Yeah. But if it's a zecher, you've got to follow the rules of the zecher. What are you trying to achieve? Yeah, that's a possibility. I mean, the matzah itself is like lafi koyman. It itself is the carbon matzah.
In the time
Pesach
Sheni,
there's a
matzah on the 14th.
You're right. But that itself requires an understanding. First of all, I'm not sure that's mukhra, because it probably is right. But still, you had to eat the Pesach with the matzah tomorrow, and there may well have been an issa not to eat it. Latelvin, I don't know. The main point of this question is the answer rather than the question. But all right, you can answer each of these questions separately. I'm not denying that, some of them. I better hurry up, otherwise we're not going to get to the answers. Right, number 9. No, that was number 9. Number 10. The Pesach Sheni in the Torah seems to have come in response to the Tmeim LaNefesh. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give the Pesach Sheni as a Slachachila Dika Din in Parshas, but if you didn't manage it, then I'm going to give you a Pesach Sheni. Why was it? It only came in response to the Tmeim LaNefesh, who had to bury Nadab and Avihu, or they were busy with the Tumah, as the Gemara says. The various people became Tumah because they were busy with the Chevra Kedisha, and the Chevra Kedisha said, it's not fair that we should be left out. Where do you find such a concept that the whole mitzvah comes because, well, you do find such a thing that, find, for example, we have the mitzvah tefillin because Avraham Avinu had the Soch Nal, etc. Okay, but this is a mitzvah which is after Matan Torah, and yet it seems to have come simply because these people applied for it. Next question. The whole parasha itself is in completely out of order. Rashi explains it's in the wrong place. It should have been at the beginning of Bamidbar. It was deferred until after, as Rashi says, a reason because they were not Mekayim the Pesach as they should have been, etc. And therefore it's deferred. But it's in the wrong chronological order. Maybe there's something to learn from that. Next question. If you look through this is a better question my brother noted, he asked the question, if you look through the parasha, when it starts off in the parasha in Baalosko, it starts off talking about the Pesach, that brought the Pesach, four times that they're about the Pesach. And as soon as they said, Loma Negora, immediately after, somebody changes to Pesach Lashem, Pesach Lashem, Pesach Lashem. So the first half of the parasha is talking about the Pesach, and the second part of the parasha is talking about Korban Lashem, Pesach Lashem. Why is that changed? Why is the wording of the parasha being changed? Next question. Well, everyone knows the famous question. The first Pesach is Matzahs al Meroirim. And the second Pesach Sheni is al Matzahs umeroirim. And we actually say the Lashon of the Pesach Sheni in the Haggadah. Everyone asks that question. Why don't we say the Lashon of the Pesach Sheni in the Haggadah? We should be saying the Lashon of the Pesach Rishon in the Haggadah. But you're just begging the question. Why does the Torah itself change the Lashon between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? Next question. Why does the Torah have to tell us that the Geir is the same as the Ezrach? Again, in both places, both in Parshas Bo, and you've got the references in on the piece of paper, and in Parshas Baalosko, at the end of the Parsha, Ka Geir Ka Ezrach. Tell me, have you ever heard that the Geir needs to be told he's got the same din for taking the Lulav? Or the Geir has to go and listen to the Shofar? For what's happened wrong to the Geir? You must keep Pesach like everybody else. What's special here about the other? Both places. Remember, the Geir is like the Ezrach. And worse than that, Rashi says, at the end of the Pesach Sheni, he says there, you might have thought that as soon as it becomes a Ger, he's got to bring a Korban Pesach. Ask you. It becomes a Ger, he puts his tefillin on, he puts his tzitzis on. Because it's a Ger, he's got to take a lulav the day it becomes a Ger. He's got to blow a shofar because the day it becomes a Ger. Because it becomes a Ger, you might have thought he's got to bring the Korban Pesach. Why on earth should you think that? Why should you think? The Gemara says it's not so. But where do you even get the Havamina from that we need a limud to tell us not? It doesn't add up. Next. We're up to the Rambam himself asked the following question. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos asked, he said, where do you find that something which is a prat of another mitzvah becomes a mitzvah of the Tariag itself? He says, don't ask me this question, says the Rambam, because although I've said in my Shiroshim that you cannot have one of the Tariag mitzvahs which is just a prat of another one, so for example, if you've got that you've got to have tefillin. The fact that the tefillin have to be black doesn't make it another one of the Tariag mitzvahs. The Tariag mitzvahs have tefillin, and all the pratim of tefillin fall within that head. You have a mitzvah to bring a Korban Pesach. If there's a tashlum into the original Pesach, that's part of the din of Pesach. So what do you need? Why am I counting it as a separate mitzvah? But it is a separate mitzvah. He says because it's regel b'fnei atzma, the Gemara says we're basking like Rebbe who says a regel b'fnei atzma. If it's a regel b'fnei atzma, it's a separate mitzvah. But if it's a separate mitzvah, we've got all these other problems. Why is it so? It must be connected with Pesach. You can't say it's not connected with Pesach Rishon because you only bring it if you didn't bring the Pesach Rishon. There's got to be some sort of tashlumin. So what's going on here? Is it a tashlumin or is it a regel? Next question. Why were the? Did I leave one out? I think it's been said. Anyhow, if it's been left out, then you read it, it's all part of the same syndrome. Now, the final question is that these people said Lomo Nigora. Why are we worse? But why did they say that? If somebody, for example, has to go and take somebody to hospital on Shabbos because of Pikuach Nefesh, he's honest Rachman Apatre. Right, maybe an Indian to say that Kodesh Baruch Hu shouldn't have been Mesabev, that I had to be Mechalel Shabbos, it's a terrible, therefore you do some sort of tikkun for that. In fact, it's even mentioned that a child who's born on the end of Shabbos, a child who's born on Shabbos has to have some tikkun later in life. He may be a bigger tzaddik, or he have to do Baal Teshuvah, Yorei Shemayim, because he caused his parents to be Mechalel Shabbos for him. This is such an Indian. But it isn't really necessary. If you're anonymous, your pots are finished. Why are they so upset? If you're a member of the Chevra Kedisha, you don't turn around and say, oh, I don't want to be a member of the Chevra Kedisha because it might mean I'll have to do things on Shabbos, or I might have to do things which will conflict with my concept. I've got to sit and learn Torah all day. You can't do that. So here, these people were doing a mitzvah of looking after you. Why were they so upset that they couldn't keep the Korban Pesach? Why should it be like that? So you have a question?
We, even Pesach Rishon, shouldn't have to even mention Pesach Sheni, because we've kept Pesach Rishon.
Therefore?
Why should we have to mention Pesach?
Okay, Lachlan, but we're talking about people who didn't manage to keep Pesach Rishon.
For us to do, we have kind of taken that.
Yeah, but we haven't had the Korban Pesach. Okay, right. So it's getting late. I just want to tell you that I can't go into every bit, but the answer is basically on the following lines. The point is, the Yabbats asks the Kasha of what's special about Pesach Sheni, and he says, Gilu li min ha-shumayim. Min ha-shumayim, I heard the following, that the matzah which they took out from Egypt, it lasted for 30 days, and it finished on the 14th of Iyar. And because the matzah had come to an end, that's why they made the Pesach Sheni, that's why it's such an important day. Or that's why we eat matzah, that's why we keep those people who do it. That's a bit puzzling. What's that got to do with the Pesach Sheni and the Korban Pesach? Why Davka that day did they make it? What's he mean by it? But he's not the only one who says that. The Baal HaTurim also says that on that, the Tesvov, not the Yudah, the Mon came down on Tesvov. That's itself a big question, because Rashi says it was the 16th, the Chasam Sofer says it was the 18th, but it was around that time. But what's he mean? And Sam is asking his question, I don't understand what the connection is between one and the other. So we've got the Yabbats and we've got the Baal HaTurim both saying something to do with the Mon coming and the Matzah finishing. But what's the connection? But there's more to it than that. We've just shown, by learning all the other places, that there's something special about this Loma Nigora. In fact, the Aznan Latera says the word Loma Nigora, Nigora is a Rashi Tevas of Nie Goyim Rishoim Arelim. If we don't keep the Korban Pesach, we will be like the Goyim, like the Rishoyim, and like the Arelim. And that's another question which is not mentioned, but that's like Shimon Esther, you've got a 19th book. The question here is, if you, why is it that the, I'm getting confused. The question is that they have, they had the Goyim, Rishoyim and Arelim brought, were specifically mentioned as not being allowed to do the Korban Pesach. Why do you need to tell us that? Why should they have a special love in the Torah not to bring the Korban? I mean, if you're an Oral, or you're a Rosh, or you're a Goy, you're not keeping it anyhow, and it doesn't tell us they shouldn't bring the Lulav, or they shouldn't bring listen to the shofar. Why, especially in the Korban Pesach, is there this din? The answer is, in all this is the following. The Korban Pesach was instituted as the tikkun for Avodah Zorah. It says, we say that, Mishpul Chu. It was to take us out from the Avodah Zorah of Mitzrayim, and there was this, it was a cataclysmic mitzvah, which has especially got a chorus, and could be that Miller goes with that, because it is a yesod in Yiddishkeit. It's vital and fundamental mitzvah. And that's why when a ger comes a ger, the Pasuk tells us you should know that when you become a ger, you're giving up your Avodah Zorah completely. Your Avodah Zorah is out now. And that's a tremendous jump, a leap of faith to take to remove that Avodah Zorah. Therefore, there would have been a Havamina. Just as we brought the Korban Pesach when we came out of Egypt, there should also be a mitzvah of that ger, when he becomes Jewish, he should bring a Korban Pesach to recognize the fact that he's given up Avodah Zorah. The Meshech Chochmah actually develops that theme on the parasha. It's a long, long Meshech Chochmah. He develops it on those lines. What we're saying, therefore, is this. But all right, let's have a minute. But Lemaisa, we see the Ge'ezach Ge'ge, you should know that if the Ge'er becomes a Ge'er, then the Pesach is vitally important to him to understand that Avodah Zorah has got to be removed. Because it's such an important mitzvah, and if you look at the Chinuch, I haven't got time to read the whole Chinuch out, but the Chinuch talks, the Shoyish HaMitzvah, the Fish HaMitzvah, the Pesach, who Os Chozak U'Borur, Lechol Roi HaShemesh B'Chidush HaOilam. And he goes on and explains that the Korban Pesach is a special mitzvah, says the Chinuch, which demanded this extra inyanim. Now, therefore, somebody who didn't manage to get Pesach Rishon, the Torah said, look, we're going to give you another opportunity because you've just given up you've given up all the Avodah Zorah. Therefore, it becomes something special. Now, when going back to the people who were the Tamela Nefesh, it's true they could have said, Anas Rachmona Patre. But it's well known that just because you're an honest doesn't mean you say you've kept the mitzvah. And although you're potter, nobody's going to have any claims against you. Nonetheless, a person who, despite the fact is an honest, tries somehow to get into the mitzvah. Can you imagine? You are an honest on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to miss the shofar. You're going to miss the shofar. You're perfectly legitimate for whatever reason. Wouldn't you try your hardest to, in every possible way, even though you're potter, to listen to the shofar? It means so much to you to hear the shofar. Pesach is the same thing. It means so much to these people. It meant so much to them. It's true they were potter and they weren't high, but they said, look, this is the definitive factor of dividing us from Avodah Zorah. It's vitally important. That's why it changes from Pesach to Pesach Lashem. Because once they'd made that statement, that showed they were true Yidden of Mesiris Nefesh, they weren't satisfied to say, oh, I'm okay, I'm an honest, I'm potter. They went the whole way. And that's why the parsha there is given in their zechus. In fact, some of the versions say that they really shouldn't have had any Korban Pesach until they went to Eretz Yisrael. And the only reason why they had the Pesach at that time was because of the Gnus. That's why the Pasha was changed around. And because Klal Yisrael had misbehaved at the Eger. Ah, you misbehaved at the Eger, we need a Korban Pesach to get rid of the Avodah Zorah. Had you not sinned at the Eger, they wouldn't have had a Korban Pesach. They would have waited until they went to Eretz Yisrael. So the whole point of the Pesach was to bring a message that you get away from Avodah Zorah. And that's why it's there in Baal Oskar and where it is. Now, let's just finish off on the timing. According to that, it comes out that the Pesach Sheni is a tikkun, which is an unusual one. It's a regular bifnei atzmo, but obviously connected with the original Pesach. Somebody didn't, is given another opportunity. Why at that particular juncture? And the answer is this. We are on a ride between Pesach and Shavuos. We've got to get to Shavuos. This is the Sfiras HaOmer. Once you've got part of the way, you're already al haderech. And the idea is Shloshim Yom is always a period, as man of time, where things by that time can change. So for example, you only become a chayiv in the taxes of the town if you're in the town for 30 days. If in fact you're to start l'chachila, then you can maybe straight away. But if you just join, and you haven't made your mind up as to whether you're going to stay, if you're there for 30 days, you can tax them. So if a person joins the shul, he's only here for a short while. If he's here for 30 days, you make sure you get the dues from him, because he's chayev. That's 30 days. Same thing, mashiv or ruach, also comes to an end on Pesach Sheni. If you don't remember whether or not you said mashiv or ruach, then by after Pesach Sheni, you're already rogil, and you don't have to go over it again. So you find the other concept of 30 days is a time factor when things are starting to change. So, what happened here is this. At the end of the 30 days, the matzah is now changing into mon. That's the whole point. Before they were living on matzah. Mon is something which is in the bones, which is a higher level. And because they were changing from matzah into mon, that's the shaychus to the mon. Now Klal Yisrael were firmly on the way to remove Avodah Zorah. We're two-thirds of the way, almost. Agbom is two-thirds of the way, but it's, you're almost two-thirds of the way towards the Matan Torah, the Kabbalah Satorah. That is the time when we can make a significant regel, so to speak, to identify the fact that we are we've changed from being Avodah Zarah Nikkers to becoming Klal Yisrael. We've got to that stage in the journey. And on that basis, it makes sense that stage of the journey, they decided to be Koveya, the Tashlumin, which we had to say was it. So it's neither a Tashlumin nor a Rega B'Nei Atzma, it's both. It's a Rega B'Nei Atzma for the purpose of making sure that we are now completely removed from the Avodah Zarah, that we are on the way to the Yom Tov of Shavuos de Kabbalah Satorah. But for those people who did manage, one final thing. All I've said applies to people who are liable to do Avodah Zarah, people who are liable to go wrong. There was one group of people who weren't. That was the women. We know quite well that the women never sinned at the Eger. The women didn't really need the Korban Pesach like the men needed it. Yes, it's there because it's a fundamental of our religion. But the Torah doesn't legislate for them that if they miss the Korban Pesach religion, they're not going to do that. The women are so reliable that they don't need the mitzvahs of tefillin, and they don't need the mitzvahs of tzitzis like the Gemara says, because they don't need the protection that the man needs. A man gets into mischief. A woman has got a different nature from a man. Those of you who heard Rabbi Tatz talking about the chulia and the bor will know exactly what I'm talking about. The chulia and the bor typifies the difference between the woman's nature and the man's nature. It's the man who needs the tikkun against Avodah Zarah. The ladies gave all the things to the Mishkan, etc. So the ladies didn't need this. It's odorous. They didn't need this because it was there already. Okay, I've gone 5 minutes over time. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. And I hope you'll have the odorous. We should all be able to go from here to come off the top.